think we just sang a song about peace because of the next piece of armor that we're going to put on, which is to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so that's why we sang a song about peace this morning. How many of you have purchased a new pair of shoes anytime, let's say, in the last 2 months? Anybody purchase a new pair of shoes in the last 2 months? All right, some of you have. Whenever I would try to encourage people getting ready to go to Israel, I tell them to go out and buy a brand new pair of shoes the day before we leave. No, I do not tell them that, because what do I tell them? I tell them, if you're going to get some new shoes to go to Israel, get them 6 months before you go so that you can get them broken in, get them to fit your feet so that you're not going to be getting blisters while you're walking around in Israel. And so I had a lady one time that didn't follow my instructions, and she unfortunately was diabetic as well, and she went out and bought brand new shoes just the week before she left, and she not only got brand new shoes, but borrowed her sister's insoles that were already broken down to her sister's feet, not hers, and she ended up with blisters and got infection, and I brought her home from Israel in a wheelchair because she couldn't walk any longer. Had to take her to the emergency room in Israel and get her feet tended to. Your feet are pretty important, aren't they? How many of you would like an advertisement that looks something like this? Shoes. Timeless design. No more worrying about changing styles. Shoes. Providing incomparable balance and sure footing. Shoes. Soles of indestructible material standing up to the toughest punishment. Shoes. Durability unmatched, guaranteed never to wear out. Shoes at a price that can't be beat. Well, let me tell you, as absurd as it sounds, that's the kind of shoes, spiritually speaking, that God offers us today as we take them as pieces of our spiritual armament that we're to be girded with. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Who can quote me that verse? But thanks be to which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we are in a patriotic mood mentally because of the holiday tomorrow. And when we get into patriotic mood, we especially think about all of the battles that have had to take place to guarantee our freedom and the things we enjoy today. But may we never be unmindful or forgetful of the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. And what was just promised in that verse that we read, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory is possible today. Aren't you glad? And victory is promised. Aren't you glad? And victory is provided. Aren't you glad? There's my three P's already there. It's possible, and it's promised, and it's provided. It's not just something that we look forward to someday. Victory is ours right today. But you know, that victory or lack of victory is in direct proportion in our Christian lives as we are appropriating or not appropriating that which God has provided for our protection and our victory. And that's the armor. I hope that at least some of us are taking the time to, if we haven't already memorized it, memorize this passage in Ephesians 6. And you can turn there to Ephesians 6 if you haven't already turned there. Ephesians 6, and we're looking at this passage of Scripture that starts with verse 10 and especially goes down through verse 18. And that's going to be the portion we're going to all attempt to memorize. And in your bulletin, what verse should we be on today if we're memorizing a verse a week? Well, in your bulletins, you'll see it's verse 12. Now, I want you to notice, she's not here, so I can embarrass her because she won't know that. But she came to me after she'd printed the bulletin, Sarah, this week, and she said, "Pastor, I made a mistake." Can you find the mistake? I'll give you a hint. It's in the bulletin, in the section about the verse. She was typing away, and the box wasn't big enough, and when it got printed, the last word was missing. So put the last word in there. Don't worry about it. What's the last word? Places. So if you don't but I want you to notice something. Look in your King James Bible, and what is places in your King James Bible? Italics. So what does that mean? It's kind of been added for clarification, for understanding. And so maybe Sarah was just looking at the italics word there and so forth. No, she recognized that it was a mistake. She apologized big time to me for it. And she said, "Should I reprint it?" And I said, no, we can get by with that word missing this week. But so let's start and read together. And if you've memorize and say it as much as you can until you have to look down. But let's work on this passage of Scripture. And let's start with verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's see if, and let's work on this summer, that passage of Scripture. Probably one of the most difficult is that verse 12, the one that has all of the things that we wrestle against. And so that's going to be the challenging verse, but work at it. And we've already looked in our past studies on the armor thus far about our loins girt about with truth. And we have looked at the breastplate of righteousness this morning. We are going to look at our shoes and being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That word shod literally means to bind under. To bind under, the word shod. We know what it means to shod a horse. What? By the way, this is a little trivia. What do you call a person who places horseshoes on horses? They are called a farrier. And I know that, well, I've known it for some time, but I was reminded of that because I saw a program not too long ago about a veterinarian called Dr. Pohl. Any of you ever see that program? Dr. Pohl. And Dr. Pohl had to call in a farrier to do the horse's hooves. But notice with me, what is a key word there in verse 11? What are we supposed to be able to do? Stand, right? And what are we supposed to do in verse 12? That ye may be able to withstand, and having done all to stand. And then verse 14 says, stand. You know, four times in about four verses, we have the word stand. If we are going to be successful and victorious in this battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, the position of victory is standing. I don't know too many armies that ever won because they were sitting or laying. You know, some people have the philosophy, why run when you can walk? And why walk when you can stand? And why stand when you can sit? And why sit when you can lay? Well, in the battle, that is not a proper position. The proper position of victory in this battle is to stand. And if standing is so important, and that's the goal, that's the issue, then we have to have a foundation. That's why to bind under is what it means to be shod. You have to have the right kind of foundation. Over and over in this passage, in our struggle against especially Satan, because he's mentioned in all of those spiritual enemies that are mentioned in verse 12, we are standing against the wiles of the devil, and we are standing in this spiritual battle. So we need to have this special piece of armor that gives us sure footing and stability. A soldier would not be very effective if he kept stumbling around and had no sure footing. So this is a very important piece of equipment. It is a sandal-type thing with an open toe on it. This was what it was like during the Roman days, and Paul was writing particularly about Roman type of armor here. And so Paul was reminding us of this boot-type sandal with an open toe, but it's wrapped around the bottom of the foot and then wrapped thongs around the side of the foot, but the toe is open. Sometimes they would even have some very heavy studded nails on the bottom of this piece of leather so that they had traction and could grip with those studded nails, kind of like cleats on the bottom of some athlete's shoes. And so they would use leather thongs and wrap around to hold them in place. And so they would have their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And certainly, if a Roman soldier needed to be concerned about his footwear, we ought to, in our spiritual battle, be concerned about our footwear. And this word preparation here in verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation, that word preparation has kind of a twofold meaning. It means readiness. We all would recognize that, right? Readiness, preparation, readiness. But also to be established. And so it's that one who is on firm ground, he's established, and he is ready. And that's what the preparation has to do with. We need to be ready, and we need to be standing on firm ground. Sometimes when we suffer some kind of a loss in the spiritual battle, maybe we are tempted, and maybe we fall into sin. Perhaps it's because we weren't ready. We weren't on guard. We weren't ready for the attack of Satan. And so this preparation has to do with being ready, and it has to do with being on a firm foundation. Have firm footing. Now, we all know what the gospel is. Somebody tell me what the word gospel means in the New Testament. The word gospel. Good news. All right, it's good news and glad tidings. And so what we are to be prepared with is good news about what? Well, it tells us the gospel of peace. Good news about peace. How are we assured of peace today? What brings peace to our lives? Well, let me tell you, being ready for heaven and being on some firm ground brings you peace. It brings stability. It brings assurance. Another word might be trust. You're ready. You're on firm ground. You're trusting. And so because of that assurance, that trust, you are that one who has received great peace. And peace is necessary if you are going to win the battle today. I have an Amplified New Testament. Anybody know what an Amplified New Testament is? It's a New Testament that kind of takes the passage and broadens it a little bit and expands it a little bit. Well, the Amplified New Testament reads this verse. Notice there are only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 words, but listen to how many the Amplified put in here. It says, and having your feet in having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. So what allows us to have that readiness and that promptness and that firm-footed stability? The good news of the gospel of peace is what gives us that stability today. How many of you would agree with the statement that as you look around the world today, you don't find a lot of peace? Have any of you heard some of the warnings on the news, even here in our own nation, about 4th of July activities? And they're saying, go ahead and have your celebrations, but everybody keep watch because, you know, peace, even though we live in the United States, is not a guaranteed thing anymore, is it? Not guaranteed. I pray and I hope and trust there are no situations that occur this weekend and tomorrow in our nation. They could. They're happening all over the world. And so we need peace. But are we going to find peace in this world?
No.
Are we going to find peace in our own efforts? No, this is the gospel of peace, which is the good news about how peace has been provided for you and I. And certainly, number one, you will never have peace as long as you are at enmity with God. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Just a few short books over to Hebrews and then James chapter 4. And listen to verse 1 through 4. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so let me tell you this morning, you will never know peace if you're an enemy of God. Because he is the God of all peace. And if you do not know him, if you're at enmity with him, if you are living a lifestyle that's more of the world than it is of wanting to please God, Don't expect to have any peace. Peace is only provided for those who are at peace with God. Romans 5, you're familiar with these passages, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled by the death of his son. So we need that peace that comes by being reconciled. If you have two nations out there that are warring with one another, what do they have to do before they get any peace? They have to reconcile. Probably sign some kind of a treaty, but they have to reconcile. And so you have to be reconciled to God before you can ever have peace. In the book of Hebrews, the author here of the book of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 2, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So what's he want to do? He wants to take away the fear of death and give you peace. And again, Isaiah tells us, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God is everlasting strength. And so this word peace, the gospel of peace, can only be ours if we are trusting in the Lord, if we've been reconciled to the Lord, if we're no longer enemies with the Lord. Another passage of Scripture talks about being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that peace with God is necessary today. And so I just want to stop and ask you this morning, do you have peace with God? Are you at peace with God? And then if you are at peace with God, then you will know the peace of God in your life as you walk with him. The verse that we just quoted from Isaiah 26, when it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. You know what the word perfect peace is there? It's two Hebrew words. Back to back, it's shalom, shalom. That's perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. And how can we get that? By having our mind stayed on Christ because we trust in him. Perfect peace. And that gives us confidence. Having peace with God, having the peace of God, gives us confidence so that we can stand with stability, stand with readiness, stand in the battle, and not fall back. Here's the problem. Some of us today are going into battle barefoot. And in such a condition, we might call it, to correspond with the shod, the unshod, barefoot, unshod. As you're going into battle, you are unshod. You're going to trip. You're going to stumble. You're going to stub your toe. You're going to have pain. And again, if your feet get cut, they will get infected, and there's no way we're going to be able to stand. And so we have to put on these spiritual shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. He promises, he provides, He has given us peace so that we can have his victory. Turn back, we're over in James, turn back to 1 Peter for just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who hath without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed of the corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so then we've continue to know that if we have received Christ, we can have confidence and we can have boldness and we can therefore have stability and readiness to be in the battle. These shoes are even better than the shoes that the children of Israel had while they were wandering in the wilderness. How long did their shoes last there? 40 years. These are spiritual shoes that will never wear out. Part of our spiritual armor. And what does the word slipshod mean? We have shod and unshod. But then I want to do the word slipshod. What does that third word slipshod mean? Pardon me? Sloppy method. Sometimes people say, well, you did that in a slipshod method, you know, or way. It also can mean slipshod. If you just think of the two words, putting them together, I have to tell you this one little illustration. We went to Israel one time. We saw a bunch of Bedouins along the road living in these great big black goatskin tents. But the children were out on the hillsides watching the sheep. And so our bus driver and guide said, well, let's go into one of the Bedouin camps and let's just stop and say hello. So we pulled the bus in there and the kids just came running. Why do you think the kids came running? Well, they wanted to see all these rich American tourists who might give them something, you know. So they were coming running. And I'll never forget, there was this little kid, he couldn't have been over 3 or 4 years old, who had to be wearing his father's boots. And he came running to see us tripping and stumbling. But he couldn't get there fast enough because we had some candy and we had some other things we gave them. But this little kid came running. Slipshod means perhaps not being having the right size boots on. They slip. Maybe Webster defines slipshod as having shoes down at the heel, slovenly, untidy. Parents, do you have any of your children who, when they put their shoe on, they just push it on and they crush the back of the shoe down with their heel and the shoe's not really on? That's called slipshod. I see some other ladies who do that too, you know. It's not just kids, right? Slipshod. It's not having your shoes on properly. You know, God doesn't want us to be slipshod today. He doesn't want us to be unshod today. He wants us to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He wants to be ready, firmly planted, so that we can be victorious in this battle. And that preparation and that firmness comes from having confidence because we are at peace with God. Let's pray. Lord, how sad to suffer in the battle simply because we don't have the right footwear on. Maybe we don't have confidence, and because we haven't really received the peace that God wants to give us when we are at peace with God. We can't enjoy the peace of God, and we can't enjoy peace with men if we aren't at peace with God. And so perhaps there are some today who need to make peace with God by confessing sin, by changing some habits in their lives, by being solely and totally sold out to you. Father, whatever is necessary to get that peace, we pray that you'd help us to not love the world and help us to put down the flesh and help us to stand against Satan. And Father, we pray that as we do so, we will find peace and be able to stand. Perhaps there are some who have no peace because they really do not have Christ, and they've never had Christ, and they need to be saved. I pray that you would show them that need as well today. Father, speak to our hearts and cause us to love you and have a desire to, using the armor, stand for you today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.